the calm before the storm on Jell. We still don't know exactly who the Nuggets are going to face in their first round of the playoffs. We still don't know exactly who the Avalanche are going to face in the first round of the playoffs, but we'll find out tonight. We'll know everything tonight, my friend, and I'm ready for it. You got the Avs in action tonight at 6 o'clock. They win. They're going to face Seattle. They'll be the one seed. They'll be in the top of the Central Division. If they lose, they'll face Minnesota. And for the Nuggets, they're already set where they are. We'll find out tonight between Minnesota and OKC. Minnesota wins. There you go. Nuggets, Timberwolves. OKC wins. And Nuggets, Thunder. I'm excited for it. Tonight's going to be a fun night. We got to solve some riddles, I suppose, and we'll find out. Did you see it too? Nikola Jokic got the fresh new haircut. You have a baseball stat, essentially. You know, baseball stats, they have stats on everything. Well, Joker's pretty damn good when his hair's short. So that's, I mean, it always seems like when Joker gets the fresh haircut, the fresh buzz cut there, the Nuggets do pretty well.
Yeah, so just some stats for Nikola Jokic in his first game after getting a haircut. This is throughout his entire career. He is averaging 37.8 points, 14.3 rebounds,
bam,
9 assists, and he is undefeated.
Haircut Joker doesn't care. Haircut Joker. Who keeps that stat? That's a baseball stat.
That was from at Blue Arrow Collector on Twitter.
Wow.
They call him the Blue Arrow Pharaoh, the biggest Nuggets fan from Canada.
How did he? So he must clearly, okay, Joker's got a haircut. We're tracking to see what he does. Because that's not, it's not in the box score, Angel. You know, that's not going to be in the NBA stats. That is totally a baseball stat. 100%. But it does seem like every time the Joker's got the fresh haircut, things roll. Do you think he gets it cut during the playoffs, or do you think he's going to just, he got the fresh cut, now we let it go, and it'll be all grizzled up with the half beard by the time we get to the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
You think he lets it go?
Mm-hmm.
Freshen it up right now, and now we just let it go and let that ride. I'm ready for it, man. The NBA playoffs actually start tomorrow, so Angel and I got some work to do. We got a lot of picks to make. I wanted to ask you this question on the air, rather than, you know, prep it out. If, let's say, for example, you pick a winner tonight in the play-in game, so Bulls, Heat, Thunder, Minnesota, and your team, the team you pick, loses, but you pick whoever that team is, obviously you picked them to win, to lose to the Bucks or whatever in that first round, does that still count? So if you picked the Bulls to beat the Heat tonight, but the Bulls lose, so it's the Heat and the Bucks, but you picked the Bucks to win the first game, does it count?
I thought we would just pick by game. So we would pick the two games tonight.
But we won't be able to pick tomorrow and Sunday unless you want to tweet it on out.
I mean, we can do that.
We could tweet it on out. Okay, I wanted to make this.
Like picking future teams is like, eh.
But we could pick the rest. We could leave the one seeds. The one versus
eight. Are we picking the series, or are we picking each game in the series?
Well, I wanted to pick each game. And then we were going to give bonus points if you get the series right.
Okay.
Would you get more bonus points if you get the amount of games right? Can your brain handle all of that, Angel?
More bonus points.
For picking the series winner.
Yes, we will pick each game in the series.
Uh-huh.
And we will also pick the series winner when we pick game one of that series, we'll pick the series winner.
Okay.
We'll keep that. Uh-huh. And then we'll pick each game throughout the series. And then whatever happens, you get the points for the games you got right. And then you get 4 bonus points because it's 4 wins to advance of if you get the team that won the series right.
So basically it's 4 wins that you just get.
Yes.
So
you can get at most 8 points.
Okay. All right.
Per series.
And where are our hooligans on this? You guys aren't predicting anything. Maybe you're waiting for the playoffs. But I'm sitting at 3-1. You're sitting at 1-3. It's a very important weekend for you. You just don't want to get too far behind here, Angel. This is the first round is critical First round's critical because that's when you have, obviously, the most games to pick from. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Good news for the Avs yesterday. You know what? While we're there, let's just do it. Let's hit it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, the Avs win 4-2. It was kind of weird, you know, because Winnipeg, they knew they were going to lose, so they kind of just put in their reserves halfway through the game. It was kind of a clunky game. It wasn't the best game in the world for the Avs, but, you know, they go up 2-0. Winnipeg ties this thing, but then the Avs score to start the third period, and then they get an open netter at the end of the game to win 4-2, which now puts destiny in their control as far as the seed that they would ultimately get. So all they got to do is win tonight, and they'll lock up the Central Division. So still a lot to be decided. They'll either play the Minnesota Wild or the Seattle Kraken. So good that the Avs have continued to put themselves in a good spot. The bad for me, you got out of the game, you win. Andrew Cogliano crashed into the boards in the first period. He didn't come back. He has an upper body injury with no timetable. Then Dennis Malgin scored early in the game. He left in the third period. He'll probably miss tomorrow, too. Today, which would be today, Jared Bednar said. They've been pretty good depth players as far as the forwards go for this team. So you wanted to get out of a game like that unscathed. Yeah, more injuries, but the Avs obviously been able to overcome that. One of the injuries they just have not been able to overcome. It was, this is the ugly, the bummer of a story yesterday. The Avs will prepare for the postseason run officially without the captain, Gabriel Landeskog. The C is on his jersey. He is the captain for so many reasons. And it, you know, we wondered if this might come. We kept thinking, okay, he's skating, he's going, maybe he's doing more. Never really got past the morning skate kind of deal. So obviously, this is a tough one. There's a dark cloud hanging over the Avs. I think we all kind of at least had hope that he was going to be back for Colorado. And now he's gone. But listen, this team has been able to find ways to win without him for quite some time now. What does this mean for Landeskog's future? That's perhaps the more pressing interesting. That's the more pressing story right now. So do we put a C on somebody's jersey then? Do you put it on Nathan MacKinnon? I think you got to put a C on somebody's jersey. I'm curious. Kyle Fredrickson will join us from the Gazette coming up at 11:30. And we'll ask him what that looks like. But he's still the captain. So maybe do you put a C on somebody else's jersey? Or do you just say, he's still the captain? Even though he's not out there, he's going to be supporting us every step of the way. We're not going to do that. We're leaving the C on his suit jacket. Would you put a C on somebody else? Or do you leave it kind of as a, you know, symbol type thing? Don't put it on anybody else.
I'd leave it.
So nobody gets a C?
No. You don't. Do you need one? You haven't had him all year, so...
Hockey needs a captain. That's their thing. I mean, you have a captain of the team.
Well, then just give it to MacKinnon. If you need one, then give it
to
somebody.
Well,
you don't
have to.
It's not
like, it's not like it's a rule if you cannot enter the arena without having a captain chosen. But it is kind of a hockey thing. He's our captain. That's, you know, growing up watching Mighty Ducks, the captain was the biggest thing in the world. Aside from the coach, in this case, Mighty Ducks coach Pombe. Very underrated coach, by the way. Struggled early on, but man, found some success fast. No, I almost kind of like debate whether or not you do it. You just kind of say, Gabriel Landeskog's our captain, and until he's not an actual member of the Colorado Avalanche as a player, he's going to be the guy. But, you know, they talked about it. Jared Bednar talked about it a little bit more as far as what that would mean. You know, if they are going to try to find, you know, put the captain C on somebody. Gabriel Landeskog, you know, they asked him about it. He said Thursday he was hoping, obviously, to be around his teammates as much as possible, even if he isn't sure how to captain a team while sporting a suit instead of a uniform. Quote, I don't think I've quite figured that out yet. You know, it's one thing to be around the team and go through an injury in the regular season, but playoffs is just a different type of focus and different type of preparation and all that. So I'll be around as much as the guys want me. Obviously, nothing will change in terms of how I act around the guys or anything like that. I just might need to get up to speed on some of their superstitions as they evolve here during the playoffs. But yeah, we'll see. We'll figure out all of that as we go here. That's a bummer of a loss, man. You kind of just held out hope that he might be there for this team going forward. But again, here we are. You got the first mission here to lock up the Central Division. And it's pretty simple. Win, and you're facing Seattle. Lose, and you're facing one of your rivals, the Minnesota Wild. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I told you we'd reload this one for our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. It's Friday, tight-knit brewing, opening up this afternoon. Pop by. Perfect spot to grab some of the best beer in the area. I've been going there for years. It used to be go under a different name. Great owners made that place even better than before. Same great beer, but adding more great beer. I love that spot. Good move by the Rockies and other Major League Baseball teams to extend beer sales from the seventh inning to the end of the eighth inning. I'd love to get your thoughts on this one. It's not an easy debate. It's a tricky conversation. Here's what Tom has to say. They should sell all concessions until the last out of the game. And there's some people that are just like, dude, it's a business. Do bars shut down, restaurants shut down sales of alcohol an hour before they close? They'll do the final, you know, last call, but that's because they're getting ready to close it down. Should baseball parks and all that stuff be considered different than the other places that overserve you? Ben says, Angel will love this one. Honestly, the Rockies should only sell beer once the bullpen enters the game because that's the only way to make that bullpen watchable. There's your negative fan. He did not add a positive there. There was no positive. You're looking for the crap-filled Twinkie or the crap sandwich. Good, bad, good kind of deal.
But not even good, bad, good, just bad, good.
Give me a positive. Give me what if there positive. Are no positives?
Well, then don't give me a negative, because that's just stupid.
You are in this world. You are in this different world as far as fan base. You just don't want the negativity. Mike, nope. Some of those people will be driving. As many innings towards sobriety we can get is better.
I mean, the people at the bar may be driving.
Or they're going to just go to the bar at the end of the game. If it's not available for them for the next hour or whatever, I mean, if it's the seventh inning, you got another, I don't know, you got another 45 minutes of baseball now, the way this thing goes? So I just, it's a tricky conversation. My brain does tend to lead back to, you'd hope that people take a personal accountability and make the right decision.
Well, it's like, for like safety and stuff, was there like massive safety concerns before in terms of like as soon as people leave the park, they're getting in accidents, people are getting hurt, all kinds of like,
I don't know. I mean, are we getting a crazy report of DUIs and injuries and car accidents
like
outside?
Letting
of,
people drink for what, another 30 minutes maybe is going to make a huge difference in terms of.
I don't think safety. So because again, you're going to just go load up. You're going
to talk about safety. You can't even keep our mascot safe.
You're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to go up and you're going to get two beers instead of one if you have to stop drinking in the seventh. You're going to go up and get two beers. So now you're going to get a beer in the seventh. And then you're going to go get a beer in the eighth. I mean, if you're drinking a beer in an inning, you might have a problem. But that's what you're going to do. So,
I mean, who can honestly sit there on a hot summer's day and just pound three beers back to back?
I don't know, man. The dude that speared
dinner. Unless your buddy's paying you, I don't know why you would do that.
Some people are crazy, dude. Some people get after it when they go to a game. Do they catch the? They didn't still didn't. They're looking for the guy.
He's on the loose.
So it's not that they didn't just choose to arrest him. He got away somehow?
Somehow made it from the dugout up to the concourse and out of the stadium.
Nobody stopped that guy.
Apparently he had an accomplice as well.
And they've blocked
him.
He
had a buddy that was taking pictures of him, I guess. So,
dude,
justice for Dinger.
Why did he take a picture of him?
Say, hey, buddy, you drunk.
You speared a mascot.
And you see that dinosaur, go hit him.
And now you're all over the interwebs. Your face is all over the interwebs.
It's a bigger manhunt than when Bones lost his dog last summer.
No question about it. You attacked Dinger. I don't care if you're...
He may be the least lovable of our mascots, but he's still lovable.
Well, the Avs is the snowman, the abominable snowman dude. What's his name?
I thought he was a dog.
It's a dog. They have two of them, don't they? They got the dog, but I've seen a guy dressed up in an abominable snowman costume before. But you're right. It is the dog.
It's Bernie.
Bernie? Is there not a snow? The snowman's like the barrel man, and it's like the unofficial mascot. No? Am I wrong on this?
Yes. Before Bernie, there was Howler.
Ah.
The story behind the mascots, the original Colorado Avalanche mascot. He was an abominable snowman.
And they don't have him anymore?
No.
Oh. You need to bring both those guys back. Bernie. He's like one of the little snow dogs. He's got the thing around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's a St. Bernard.
St. Bernard. Like in cartoons, you know, they always have that around their neck and go. That actually, does that happen? Are they really trained to go out on their own and just help people?
Yeah, it's got medicine and stuff in it.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. Eastside Chris, does Joker have enough up top for frosting the tips? No. He doesn't. Not when he shaves it. I mean, he's pretty much military style, man. Actually, they should go for two when the bullpen is open. There's Eastside Chris. Well, that's what's going to happen, is you're going to go up to the concessions and get two. 22 minutes after the hour. Nikola Jokic, we'll talk about him and the Denver Nuggets and their playoff quest coming up. Do you need to see an annihilation by the Nuggets coming up starting Sunday night? Sweep this thing. Beat them easily. Leave no question to make you feel better about what the possible second round situation would look like. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new ad in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is the largest privately owned, fully vertically integrated orthopedic and spine center medical group in Colorado and one of the largest in the U.S. Check out Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Is it a good move or a bad move for the Rockies and other? So far, quite a few teams have done this. Extend their beer sales from the seventh inning to the end of the eighth inning. Go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see where this one goes. It's about 63% saying yes, it's a good move. Kind of leaning that way, at least on my side of things, but it's not an easy discussion. There's maybe not a clear-cut answer on this one, but I would love to hear from you guys on it. Again, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We got UNC head football coach Ed Lamb joining the program in the 12 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Susan and Cheryl seem to like that. I hosted a Zoom event. Did you get on that thing? You didn't get on it last night? It was free.
Yeah,
it just popped on.
I didn't realize it started at 7.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to start at 5. Then it was supposed to start at 6, but they practice at 5, so needed to give coach time. He ain't going to miss practice.
No.
He's not going to skip a day. He's not going to skip 30 minutes. This guy's getting after it. So he and I talked for an hour on this Zoom thing, basically just with donors and alumni watching it. And it was fun. I mean, there's not a lot of nonsense there. You know, there's just not a lot. He's a nice guy. I like his personality well enough. But this is just a guy that gets it. He gets it. He said some honest stuff in that Zoom thing, and I don't know if they're going to make it available for people to watch after the fact, but he said a couple of things that hit me. He flat out said it, Angel. He's like, we know, we can't kid ourselves. If you're an amazing football player and your dream is to play in the NFL and all, you're probably not putting the University of Northern Colorado on your list. That's not where you're going to go. He's like, our goal is to find guys that are, good at football, but they want to prove people wrong, that they want to come out here and be a diamond in the rough and all of that. And I just loved hearing it because there was just an honesty there. Yes, they want to compete. Yes, he believes they can compete. But there is a difference. A lot of guys start jobs like this and come in and say, you know, we're going to get back to dominating. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Ed Lamb is like, yeah, we want to win. That's absolutely the goal here. But we are going to put in the work, man. We are going to pick up our lunch pail every single day. We're going to show up early. We're going to do it. And then at the end, he dropped something kind of crazy. He's like, they don't make sports movies based on great teams that just keep doing great things. They make sports movies on teams you don't expect to do something great, and then look what happens. I'm in. I mean, I'm excited about him. We're going to have Ed on the program in the 12 o'clock hour. I told him, I said we'd do another hour. We'd just talk another hour. But we'll be excited to catch up with him in the 12 o'clock hour. Kyle Fredrickson is going to join us next. I want to talk about Gabriel Landeskog, too, and just the future for him, because that's the deeper debate on all this is, yeah, he's going to miss this playoff run. And my question is there a dark cloud over this team now? You played without him for so long, so that's nothing. But I just wonder, was there that hope that he was going to come back? Because, again, in hockey, dude, you don't just get to see because we got to pick somebody. You know, let's draw straws and who's the captain. They believe in Gabriel Landeskog. They absolutely follow his lead. They look up to him. Ask any player on that roster. It's a true thing. This is not lip service. And that's, I do love that about hockey. You earn that C. This isn't just a random, we're going to pick three really good players, throw a C on there. Take a team vote, and whoever gets the most votes. No, this is the guy that you will all believe collectively is your leader as far as a player goes, and that's Gabriel Landeskog. So having that hope that he might come back might have always kind of been something driving them. How do they respond knowing he's not going to be in the postseason? 31 minutes after the hour, we're talking more Avs next with Kyle Fredrickson. Don't go anywhere. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We have the insider for the Colorado Avalanche on with us now, Kyle Fredrickson for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, my man, obviously I want to get into the playoff scenarios, everything with you, all things Avs, but we all kind of wondered it. We were wondering if Gabriel Landeskog, if the captain, was going to be available for the postseason, and we got the news yesterday that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I think from a media standpoint, and even a fan standpoint, I'm sure, there's no real shock here. This was a long time coming. I appreciate Gabe and the organization for actually sitting down and being more transparent about everything that's happened. And for them, it's good too, right? Because now the questions go away. They can focus on the game. You know, we'd really been kind of peppering Bednar lately, trying to get answers about what's been going on here. But the biggest takeaway for me, really, was that Landeskog just looked like a really bummed out guy. And that's understandable, right? You know, you haven't played hockey in a year. The role that he has on this team coming off of that cup run. And now this potentially being an injury that could impact the rest of his career. You know, he's 30 years old and has damage to his cartilage to where he's, you know, getting to the point where he's running out of options. So, you know, there could be more surgeries in the future, other things that he could do. But man, it's hard to think that he's going to be back on the ice anytime soon, you know, in a playing role for this team.
Well, and Kyle, I should have this information, but how old is Gabriel Landeskog?
He's 30. So not too old.
He's not
you know,
too
I don't
old.
Wanna,
but...
I don't want him to make me feel old. But yeah, for hockey standards, that's getting up there.
It is. It's amazing how we look at him. I'm 36, and I'm like, I'm a spring chicken. And then when you think of guys in sports and you go, 30? Give him a senior citizen card, man.
Right, right.
But it is, yeah, that's the kind of the – obviously, this is important. You know, playoffs, everything, you're trying to defend the cup. But, you know, wondering about his future – and you hear that, you know, a lot of times guys do hit that 30. Some guys have magical careers and they can go on to late 30s or whatever. But it is worth, you know, it's worthwhile to have that kind of notion, wondering if he's going to be able to come back and come back the way we're all used to seeing him play hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's going to do everything he can. He mentioned that. You know, the very point-blank question was, you know, will you play again? And, you know, Gabe immediately said, yes, you know, I fully believe that I'm going to put myself in a position where I can get back to being that same guy. But it's certainly a lofty goal. And, you know, I think it's really going to take a lot of time, I would imagine, for him to get back to that point. But, you know, whether that's, you know, more surgery, something more experimental, you know, leaning on the advice of other guys, you know, but being a professional athlete, you have incredible resources to different ideas and technology in that medical space to try to fix injuries. But, you know, Gabe was also asked, you know, do you regret it, you know, playing in the Cup final on a bum knee, basically, and powering through it? And, you know, he said, hey, I regret nothing in my career. You know, winning that was, you know, obviously life-changing for him, even if it did really stress that knee that, to this point, just has not been the same.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us. And, Kyle, as far as the captain goes, I mean, that's the tough part is, you know, guys believe in him. The captain thing in hockey, I don't know, man. It seems like it means a lot more than it does with other sports. Will they kind of just leave him as the captain as a symbol situation here, or is somebody else going to be, you know, the symbolic player leader going into the playoffs?
It's a great question. My gut tells me that the team has gone this far not having someone wearing that C on their chest that I don't expect them to change. They could surprise me and do that. Maybe that is some kind of motivational factor with all the adversity this team's been through. For me, the guy who wears it, no questions asked, is Cale Makar. I mean, in terms of the leadership he brings, yes, he's young on the team, but to me, he's kind of a Landeskog clone and a guy who brings everything, right? He can lighten a room. He can light into guys. He's really kind of grown into that. You know, other people might kind of say, hey, well, what about Nathan MacKinnon? You know, he's a star on this team. He's you know, their first or second best player right now with Mikko Rantanen. But I don't think Nate wants any business in that, you know. Nate essentially was asked, like, hey, did you have to step up as an emotional leader when Gabe was out? And he's like, nope, that's not me. I didn't have to change who I am. Like, I just, you know, I am the player who I am. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, there's different leadership styles on this team. Nate's not trying to be someone who he's not, you know, for better or worse, especially when it comes to interacting with the media sometimes. But there's sort of this raw honesty and energy that he brings, really just 24/7 that this team feeds off of. You know, Gabe brings that, but it's just a different way, a more welcoming way to where, you know, I think it's easy for everyone in that dressing room to connect with him. And I think Cale has a lot of that too. So it's an interesting question though, right? I mean, man, it's been Landeskog wearing that C for so long. I mean, he was a captain as a teenager of this team, so seeing that change is going to be a little crazy.
Yeah, I don't. And again, they know better what to do, of course, on their side of things. But in the back of my brain, I'm like, maybe you just leave the C off, man. Maybe it's like a symbolic thing that he's still our captain until he's not a member of the Avalanche. He's still the captain, but we'll see how that one works. You mentioned it, the fans, you guys, of course, Kyle, you being in so much of the know, kind of thought this was what's going to happen. But did the players, was there still that hope? Because again, the captain thing is so meaningful in hockey. Was there still that hope that, hey, our captain will be back at some point? Or did they all kind of know, and they've kind of physically, we know they've been playing great without him, but mentally, did they kind of just, hey, you know what? We know he's not coming back. We're just going to prepare without him.
Yeah, it kind of depends on who you talk to. You know, MacKinnon was kind of on a mood last night, just being a little feisty with reporters. Asked, like, hey, you know, when did you find out about this? And he said, oh, I knew a month ago. And, you know, well, yeah, I mean, a month ago, I think all of us were sort of to the point where we thought, all right, it doesn't look like Gabe's coming back. But there he was, you know, out there for morning skates, getting work in with the guys, traveling with the team. You know, a lot of that was symbolic, being the captain. But at the same degree, Gabe's not an idiot. He's not going to keep training and keep working if he doesn't think that there's something that he's working towards. But then all of a sudden, the last couple of days, he hasn't been on the ice before practices when he usually is, you know, skating in that red jersey. So we all were kind of wondering, all right, is he in meetings? You know, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, you know, it was just kind of an afternoon email out of the blue, you know, hey, in 2 hours, Gabe Landeskog is talking, and, oh, yeah, by the way, he's missing the playoffs. So not totally surprising, you know, kind of the order of how that all goes down, but I really do think there was probably optimism all the way up to this week You know, that he'd be a guy who maybe could work his way back. But at this point, the timeline just doesn't match up. Gabe wouldn't have had enough time to be in playing shape. He knew that, even if his recovery all of a sudden got better. And that just hasn't happened. I mean, he's really stuck in neutral, and that was really a big takeaway from the press conference. He's tried a lot of things, and right now nothing's working.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us, the Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. All right, well, we're moving forward. The Avs still have one regular season game to go, and, you know, we always talk about these long seasons. They have this many games for a reason. It always kind of comes down to a game or two, it seems like, and there's still plenty to solve with tonight's game.
Yeah, they love drumming up the drama.
The drama,
team,
man,
you know,
I love it.
Waiting to game 82 to settle this thing. I think us in the media would have preferred last night for some of those guards to shake out. But no, it's great. It's great, right? I mean, this is what you asked for. You're basically getting a playoff game before the playoffs with, you know, seeding implications. You know, the Avs win, they play the Kraken. They lose, they play the Wild. So, you know, kind of having that finality and knowing that going in. You know, it's really exciting, and, you know, this is a makeup game from that water main collapse in Bridgestone Arena back in, you know, I think that was around Thanksgiving. So sort of a gift to the Avalanche here that they have this game in hand to control their own destiny, you know, as Dallas and Minnesota and the rest of the Central are back watching at home. So, yeah, it's a back-to-back. The Avs have been really good in those games somehow, but I'll be curious if it's Gorgiev or Francois and Net and also if we see, you know, Dennis Malgin or Andrew Cogliano. You know, those two guys got hurt in the previous game last night. So, you know, missing those depth pieces from the lineup, that could take its toll on the Avs.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too. I mean, it was nice to get the win last night, of course, but you kind of you walk away not completely unscathed with Cogliano and Malgin, as you said. Any serious concerns about those guys? Because they've been pretty important depth pieces, depth forwards for this team.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a tale of two injuries. The first one I had a great view of, Cogliano crashing into the boards. It was two games in a row where he's kind of, you know, blown out a tire, or lost a skate essentially, and just smacked into the boards. And, man, it really looked like it hurt this time. Maybe it was a shoulder, a collarbone, hopefully not his head. But he went straight into the room. You know, you could see he threw his stick down the tunnel. So to me, that one's pretty concerning. The Malgin one is strange. We were all trying to figure out a little bit what happened on the play, but I think he actually was injured sitting on the bench. He might have caught an errant puck or something weird happened to him. So it could be a deal where he's not ready to go today. You know, one day after that happening is quite a bit. I think Bednar said that he's, you know, not probable to play. But, you know, I think in terms of having them for the postseason, you know, right now there's no reason to be overly concerned. But with this team, I mean, you never know. It's just been one thing after another.
No doubt. But somehow they've continued to overcome all the adversity. And Kyle, as we get in here, you know, the Avs will play coming up in a few days. I think the 18th, they'll play game one there in Colorado. You know, the discussion we've kind of been having off and on now is that, hey, go and defend this cup. And if they can do that, I mean, we're talking about this Avalanche, this team. We're talking about dynasty level stuff here, and you've got so many of these great players that could all make. There's three guys on the roster right now could certainly make a case for the Avalanche Mount Rushmore. So, what are the chances, man? How good do you feel about this team completing that goal, getting back to back cups here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Their championship window is gaping. It's, you know, a four car garage at this point, and with the talent they have signed long term, you know, Bednar signing that extension as well. They have all the ingredients to compete for years to come. You know, I do think the Landeskog long-term injury deal puts a little bit of a chink in that, you know, a crack in kind of what they're trying to accomplish, just being everything that he's brought to the team. Right now, the Avs don't have a really deep prospect pool, so they really, you know, they're relying on guys in the lineup to go win these championships. They've been really good at signing some, you know, heralded undrafted free agents out of college, but you know, those guys are definitely more of a risk than some of these, you know, first-round talents, you know, picks that the Avs have traded away in recent years. So, you know, you look at that, and maybe there's some, you know, reason to be concerned. But on the whole, you look at how mediocre the West is right now outside of the Avalanche. The you know, it's also the fact that they're, you know, maybe going to win the Central is the fact that the rest of the division isn't really that good this year. You know, all those man games missed. So there's different ways to examine it. But, you know, when you have those star players, 100-point guys and McKinnon and Rantanen, and, you know, sneaky maybe best storyline of this season is Alexander Georgiev being an upgrade over Darcy Kember from a year ago. I think it's almost safe to say that now. It's got the Avs looking good. You know, I think from all angles, they should be a team that's a threat to have deep postseason runs, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years or maybe even the next decade. You know, we just saw the Penguins and kind of their dynasty of, I think they had 17 playoff appearances in a row. Like, even if you're not winning them all the time, that's really impressive. You know, the Avs are hoping they're set up for something similar right now.
And what else can you say, too, about Joe Sakic and this administration? I mean, last year going into the playoffs, it was like, all right, Darcy Kempers, he's okay. You know, he was fine, but it's going to be about everybody else in these playoffs if we're going to win. And there was controversy back and forth last year with the goalkeeper situation in the playoffs. But Alexander Georgiev has been, I don't know if it was a pleasant surprise. You know, he was supposed to be a starter with his old team, and then he comes here. He's what, like second in wins or something like that? Like, he's been a very sharp goalkeeper. So going into this playoffs, you still feel good about all your skill players. But having Georgiev play the way he is, I mean, don't you feel even a little bit better than you did last year going into the playoffs?
Yeah. I think defensively this team is better. And, you know, Nathan MacKinnon has told me that in the road trip in L.A. when he was kind of reflecting on how this team has navigated all these injuries. It's a different team. They play a different style. And that's a credit to Jared Bednar as well, right? No, he's not just going to use the same playbook that won them a couple of years ago, because this is a different team. That wouldn't make sense. So, you know, yeah, the guys that they've added, Georgiev has been great. Malgin, if they get him back, he's been sneaky good in recent games. I love the way he's fearless shooting the puck. You know, the naysayers will say, hey, you know, why didn't McFarland and Sakic, you know, make a bigger splash at the deadline to replace, you know, Gabe Landeskog, to find that true number two center? You know, I think in retrospect, you know, they were hoping to land a bigger fish there. Maybe it just wasn't in the cards. A lot of that's just timing, and a little bit of luck has to go into some of those really big signings. But on the whole, yes, of course, the moves that the front office has made have been all the difference. And, you know, when you see some turnover in other markets, you know, with some of those positions, I can't imagine that this brain trust is going away anytime soon in Colorado.
Kyle, last one for you, man. How important is this win tonight? Obviously, we know what it means. If you win, you play Seattle. If you lose, you play Minnesota. Okay, they're both, what, a 4 and a 5. How important is a win here? How important is, you know, making sure you control your destiny as far as playing Seattle or Minnesota?
I think it's important. You know, I don't think it's overwhelming, season clinching. You know, it's devastating if they don't win. The fact that they have, you know, home ice in the first round, no matter who they get, they know what day they're going to start, and they, you know, they know this thing is going to get going. So for me, that's going to give them comfort. Now, from a media standpoint, the big question is, all right, well, who's the easier path? And I think logic tells you that playing the Kraken is a better way for the Avs to advance, if only because of just the lack of postseason experience. You know, they're in their second year as a franchise, and they've had a lot of turnover with injuries, and they've still managed to, you know, be in a position to get one of those wild card spots. Phil Grubauer playing well. It's going to be a really good crowd in Seattle. But, you know, with the Wild and their physical brand and sort of the familiarity there, that to me just feels like 7 games, you know, written all over it, no matter kind of how it ebbs and flows, just based on, you know, how these two teams play each other. I think the Avs should be favored in the first round, regardless of which one of these opponents they're going to get. You know, I might pick them in 5 or 6, depending on the opponent. You know, we'll see how it kind of settles before Tuesday. But, you know, we've been saying it all segment here, but the fact that they're in this position, just so impressive. Based on everything that's happened.
Well, Kyle, we'll wait and see what happens tonight. Like we said, for both the Avs and the Nuggets, a lot to be determined based on what we see on this Friday night. So it should be a very exciting Friday night. I'm looking forward to it, man. Obviously, you're going to have your playoff coverage for us available at the Gazette that we can check out. But anything else in particular you want to let our audience know that you're working on?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it briefly here, but something that's fascinating to me is just sort of this contrast between Nathan MacKinnon and Nico Rantanen and their leadership styles and just kind of their personalities in the room, with Nico being you know, the big goofy Finlander and Nate just being this relentless machine who's, you know, undeterred by anything, trying to get back to the cup. You know, they're the first 100-point guys since Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg, and they've done it on separate lines. You know, that's not something that I think Sakic and Forsberg were doing a whole lot of, you know, back in 2000, 2001. So just kind of I'll have a fun examination of kind of, you know, Nate and Mikko and what these seasons have been like, a lot of input from teammates and guys who've known them over the years. Because, you know, I think of anything when we look at this season in retrospect, regardless of what they do in the playoffs, this was really special getting to watch those two guys go to work and, you know, carry this team in ways that we just haven't seen before, you know. And for me, that's a show of growth for a championship team that's really here to stay.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that. Two special players, no doubt about it. Kyle, my man, have a great weekend, and we'll try to talk to you next week when we know a little bit more about who the Avs are matching up with.
Yep, won't be long. Should be fun.
All right, man. Kyle Fredrickson, a Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. 11:52 the time. Got the lunch rush coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, as well as UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. Stick around. You don't want to miss that. We'll take a quick break here. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Baseball in Colorado is electric. Hear it all on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the show. Check out our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor from New Belgium Oak Spire, Four Roses Bourbon Barrel Age, 9% ABV. I had one of these yesterday. Delicious. You are going to love this beer. I think it's only around for a limited time, too. So check it out. And On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Free wine and beer tastings every single weekend. You got to check it out. It's great. Locally owned and operated liquor store. Lunch Rush coming up next, followed by the UNC head football coach, Ed Lamb. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.